Hey guys, this is Pastor Neil. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast. Hey, would you do us a huge favor today? Would you subscribe, like, or leave us a review wherever you get this content? It really helps us reach other people with the gospel. Also, we would love to see you at our campus on a Sunday morning. We meet at 1010 South Bowie Drive in Weatherford, Texas. You can check out our service times and more information about the church on our website, waterhousechurch.com. Check us out on Facebook or any other social media sites that you may have. We would love to see you. I pray that today you are renewed, restored, refreshed, and that your spirit comes alive. Now here is today's message.
And I get to introduce our scripture reader today. Debbie McCracken is going to read our scripture. She serves on worship. She does. She helps with all the VBS decoration. She did a lot of that. And she also is our first impressions team lead. And so if you're interested in being somebody who just makes sure that our sanctuary looks nice and is well kept, she's one of those people you would talk to. And then also the sanctuary door as well. And so actually next Sunday, we will be having a meeting about that, a training. So if you'd like to just learn more about it next Sunday, right after second service, she'll be having training for that. So please stand.
Sounds good. Please stand for the scripture reading. It's out of Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day. Don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. So let's pray. God, it is... First of all, thank you for just who you are and that you give us the opportunity to worship you and to tell you that every single day, God. But Lord, when you created the earth and you asked us to rest one day a week, God, that's what Sabbath is all about. It's about just pulling back from everyday life, God, focusing on you, focusing on resting. God, you know our bodies best. You created us. You know that we need that day of rest. So God, I pray that in doing so and in honoring you, God, that we'll just remember that it's not just a list of do's and don'ts, God. There's meaning behind all you do. So Lord, let us take heed to what Sabbath is all about and to delight in you during that day and delight in all the blessings you give us, God. Thank you so much for who you are. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Debbie. So this is the last message on rest, and the past few weeks we've been talking about Sabbath. The first week we defined Sabbath and why it's still important to us even today. The second week we talked about their natural rhythms and how we often choose to deny those rhythms of rest. And last week we talked about rest and worship. But today we are going to be talking about Sabbath and delight. So... after all of that about Sabbath, how many of y'all think Sabbath is a prayerful, quiet day that you spend alone in deep thought? Okay, and does that sound like fun to you? Or does it sound like something that you just think you're supposed to do because that's what Sabbath is? So Sabbath, in fact, isn't meant to be a day where you do religious things and spend time in quiet reflection. It's meant to be a day of celebration. In the book Sabbath by Dan B. Allender, he says this: the Sabbath is an invitation to enter delight. The Sabbath, when experienced as God intended, is the best day of our lives. So think of a full day of delight. What would you do for 24 hours to bring you the ultimate joy? It's kind of a hard question to answer. Sometimes it might even make us a little uncomfortable, because much of what we delight, it's either expensive or unrealistic to think about doing that every single week, or maybe it's unwholesome. We're much better at distracting ourselves in our free time than really enjoying our free time, right? How many of us like to scroll on Reels or TikTok during our free time, right? It's a good distraction. It's not very restful. We would rather settle for distraction than open our hearts to what seems beyond our wildest dreams. And so what is delight? Delight means a deep feeling of joy, pleasure, or fascination that shapes the heart and moves a person or God himself to act. In the Bible, it often shows two sides. People delight in God and his word, and God delights in his people and creation. Delight can be a good or bad depending on the context. It may point to true joy in God, to ordinary human desires, or to selfish pleasures that lead to harm. What people delight in shows what they truly value. And what God delights in shows his plans and purposes for his world and his people. So first, people delight in God and his word. There are many, many scriptures about us delighting in God and his word. In Psalm 36, 7 through 9, it says, "How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your rivers of delights. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see." And Psalm 1, 1 through 2 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the ways of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." And Psalm 119 is a full psalm about God's word and delighting in it. So I just chose a few verses from it, 16:47 and 103. It says, "I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. How I delight in your commands, how I love them, how sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey." Would you say that you delight in God? Do you delight in his word? Can you say that the Bible is one of your favorite things? Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." What people delight in shows what they truly value. What do you truly value? God delights in his people and creation. At the end of each day of creation, God sees what he had created and says it is good. In Genesis 1:31, he says, "Then God looked over all he made, and he saw that it was very good." And in Proverbs, we see this idea of wisdom as a person who walked with God through creation, and how wisdom and God delighted in the human race. It says, Proverbs 8:27-31, "I was there when he established the heavens, when he marked out the horizon on the deep sea, when he thickened the clouds above, when he secured the fountains of the deep, when he set a limit for the sea so the water couldn't go beyond his command, when he marked out the earth's foundations. I was beside him as a master of crafts. I was having fun, smiling before him all the time, frolicking with his inhabited earth and delighting in the human race." I love the picture of God and his wisdom frolicking with us in delight. What God delights in shows his plans and purposes. The end goal of all creation, when there is a new heaven and a new earth, is delighting in God and God delighting in us. In Zephaniah 3:14-17, it says, "Sing, O daughters of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. For the Lord will remove his hand of judgment and will disperse the armies of your enemy. And the Lord himself, the King of Israel, will live among you. At last your troubles will be over and you will never again fear disaster. On that day, the announcement to Jerusalem will be, 'Cheer up, Zion, do not be afraid. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful song.'" The end goal is God delighting in us and us delighting in God. Now, delighting uses all of our senses. And so the different senses, sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch, each one is so important to delighting. And so sight might be seeing a beautiful sunset or enjoying a hand-picked bouquet of flowers. Maybe even a fun, creative table set for a party. Maybe sound, listening to the birds, a favorite song, your loved one laughing, the sound of rain. Those are all delightful things. Smell, the smell of bread or a meal being prepared, the smell of your husband's cologne or your wife's perfume. Taste, the sweetness of honey, the bitterness of coffee, your favorite meal of fajitas and homemade salsa. And touch, the softness of your pet, the hug or a kiss from a loved one, the feeling of a cool morning breeze. Delight uses all of our senses. I loved how we set up our Good Friday service this year with different senses being activated. We created a special smell to commemorate Jesus being anointed before death. We had objects to visualize and represent each scene, to place on the table that was then stripped and left bare at the end to commemorate how Jesus was humiliated and stripped at his death. We saw art that portrayed each moment and sang songs to remind us of the cross and the garden. When we took communion together, we tasted the bread and the juice and remembered the meal he shared with his disciples. The senses help us remember. The senses help us delight and experience things fully. One example of a place that we delight in with our senses is at a feast. And the closest thing that we can relate nowadays to a feast is a wedding, because we don't really do feasts outside of that, right? And so a wedding day, it's a special day for the bride and groom. It's a day where they commit to spending the rest of their lives together with all their friends and family surrounding them in joy. Each year they celebrate that day as a special day to remember. And I've even heard of couples who wear the perfumes that they wore on their wedding day only on their anniversary to use the sense of smell to remind them of that day. You might choose to look at your wedding photos together and remember how you felt as you were getting ready to walk down the aisle or stand before everyone to receive your bride. In many of the cultures that celebrate Sabbath, they actually wear specific clothes in order for Sabbath. I chose to wear specific clothes this Sunday. I was like, you know, I'm going to wear clothes that aren't annoying. I'm not wearing jeans today because jeans are annoying, right? And so I chose specific clothes, and I'm going to have some specific pants, and I'm going to be like, these are my Sabbath pants, you know? But even our culture has decided to call the wedding day the best day ever. It's a special day that marks the beginning of a new life together. And like I said earlier, the Sabbath is supposed to be the best day of the week, the best day ever. And so what happens at a feast? At a feast, we eat food, we dance, or we might, we play games, we commemorate a special occasion, and we celebrate specifically. So eating at a feast. On our birthdays, we tend to like to go to restaurants we might not go to normally, right? My general two meals of choice are either steak or sushi. Now, I don't get these very often because they cost a lot. So once a year, that makes sense. But there might be some foods that you'll choose to eat only on your Sabbath. And since Sabbath is weekly, it probably won't be steak and sushi, because that could really add up, right? But it might be homemade bread that your good friend makes for you, or maybe a specific coffee that you got when you were in Africa that you can't bring yourself to drink because you don't want it to all go away, right? Or maybe your favorite tea that has too much caffeine so you can't really drink it when you normally drink tea. Or that one snack that you can only find at that one store that's too far away for you to go to regularly. Those are all things that are special that you can choose to make them holy items that you only enjoy on Sabbath. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him." We can understand food being a delight. I think we all can. And so dancing at a feast. My nephew, Elijah, just turned 4, and part of his bedtime routine is dancing. And so when I visit Amarillo, I get to stay with them and learn about his routines and experience a day in the life of Elijah. And when he dances, it looks more like karate to me than dancing. But he smiles big, and he's just so excited to show me his moves that he gets to do every night. And he's just so excited about it. It's a delight for him. And he looks silly. And someday, whenever his mom has recorded him doing his silly dances, someday when he's 18, his mom's going to show him and embarrass him pretty good with those dances. But for right now, he just enjoys it. And he just loves dancing and showing people his amazing karate moves. And so dancing is something that we can delight in. I don't dance very often because my dancing skills are pretty on par with my 4-year-old nephew's. But to dance before the Lord because of the joy he brings, we see this in Scripture, especially with David in 2 Samuel 6. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. But as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. When David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She said in disgust, "How distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do." David retorted to Michal, "I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord, so I celebrate before the Lord. Yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. But those servant girls you mentioned will indeed think I am distinguished." To dance before the Lord, it's a delight. It may look foolish, may look like karate, but it's a delight. And we even play it at feasts, right? Some weddings have fun games that help us know the bride and groom better. Even the bouquet toss and the garter toss is a little game traditionally played to see who might get married next. And we can understand dancing and eating. Those are things that are pretty common that we often delight in. But play is hard to understand as adults. The delight play brings to Sabbath is crucial and will shape how you Sabbath. Play, like dancing, requires letting go and being willing to look a little foolish. Many of us don't really play anymore. If we're able to learn how to play, we'll have to learn it from children. But Scripture even points to, in heaven, there's going to be play. It's something that's going to happen, and it's going to be amazing, and there won't even be harm in that. There's not going to be embarrassment in this play. And so Zechariah 8:5 says, "And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets." And Isaiah 11:8 says, "The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm." So isn't it striking that when Jesus describes what it takes to enter the kingdom of God, he didn't point to the wise and the strong, but to children. In Matthew 18:3, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God." So play is weird. It's something that children do. It's not something that adults do. But children are free to delight and play. In elementary school, I had some friends that were horse girls. They would pretend to be horses and gallop and prance and kick their legs and neigh like horses. And they did that around the playground like it was a normal thing and nobody was judging them, even though they definitely were being judged, right? But they were just having fun. They didn't care what other people thought about them. And that's what kids can do. They can delight and not care what other people are thinking about them. To Sabbath well, we have to recover that kind of childlike freedom. Sabbath invites us to be unafraid of joy, unashamed of delight, and willing to look foolish, even in love before God. We can truly Sabbath when we let go of the fear of judgment. Sabbath and play are risky. Recently, I decided to try rollerblading again. And so me and Brian went out to Love Street Park, and I put my roller skates on. And while I was getting them on, Brian was very uncomfortable. He was like, I don't know her. This is weird. There's a grown lady putting rollerblades on right now. This is not, I don't want to be here. I don't know her. But luckily for him, I told him, hey, it's okay. You can go play with your friends. It's fine. I'll rollerblade by myself. It's okay. I'll make it work. But for him, it was very embarrassing. For me, I don't care. But delighting in things often looks silly to the outside world. What part of Sabbath are you worried you're going to be judged for? Is the fear and pressure from the outside world causing you not to Sabbath? Because Sabbath and play are risky. Sabbath and play are also communal. We aren't called to simply delight and play individually. We're called to play and Sabbath with others. Leviticus 23:3 says, "You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of complete rest, an official day for holy assembly. It's the Lord's Sabbath day, and it must be observed wherever you live. It's a holy assembly, gathering with others, playing with others, having fun together, delighting together." Every once in a while, when I was younger, my family would play football together. My sister and I would be on a team, and my brother and my dad would play on a team. And my mom would watch for moral support. And my sister and I would giggle and laugh, and we were actually pretty decent at it. I was a pretty good throw, and she was a pretty good catch. And so we would just laugh. We would just giggle and laugh the whole time. And my brother would be so mad about it. He'd be like, "They're not taking this seriously. And they're winning. How dare they?" But I remember those times were so much fun. I still think of them fondly. And so it's fun to be able to find a game where you can play with your family together and delight in that. My brother might not have been delighting, right? But my sister and I sure were. And so that's just a reminder to not take things too seriously, right? So what games does your family enjoy playing together? How can you bring that time into your Sabbath? Sabbath is meant to gather us, to laugh and sing and play together before God. That's why play is so central to Sabbath. It builds bonds and makes joy communal, not just personal. Sabbath and play involve pretend. Just as Sabbath gathers us into shared joy, it also calls us to recover the kind of joy children know best, the joy of imagination and play. So I think of the show Bluey. How many of y'all seen Bluey? So I've seen bits and pieces of Bluey, and I've heard really good things about it. Many adults actually really enjoy it, but it really encompasses and encourages imaginative play. So how many adults play and allow their imagination to be sparked? This could just simply be painting something on that's creative, right? That's an imagination. You're able to come up with something totally new. Or maybe you're playing The Floor is Lava, right? Or The Shadows are Islands and the Sunny Areas are the Sea. That was one of the Blueys that I saw. Or maybe we're imagining, especially on Sabbath, that the world is set right and there isn't war or pain or death or fear. When I was writing this, I showed it to my husband, Brian, and he was like, "This is weird." He's like, "Adults don't pretend. Like, this is just weird." And I kind of agreed. I was like, "Well, this is what the book says, okay? Like, this is what I'm reading, and this is just what it says." And then I practiced my Sabbath on Friday. I was writing it, you know, on Friday, I put it away. I say, okay, I'm going to look at it later, look at it the next day. And so I practiced my Sabbath on Friday. And it all made sense. So I delighted. I spent time with my cat. I spent time with my friends. And then when I was hanging out with my friends, I started talking about things that just were not bringing me joy. I was not delighting in this conversation, okay? I had wished, I had pretended that those things that were painful and not exactly fun to have to go through, I had just pretended that they didn't exist for one day. That's what Sabbath is asking you to do. To pretend that the world is set right, that there's no war or death or pain. It's hard to pretend that. When yesterday something bad might have happened, but here you are on Sabbath, ready to celebrate. In Nehemiah, we see just this story about how they were told to celebrate, but they wanted to cry. In Nehemiah 8, 10 through 12, and Nehemiah continued, "Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And the Levites, too, quieted the people, telling them, "Hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day." So the people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share gifts of food and to celebrate with great joy because they had heard God's words and understood them. They wanted to cry, but they were told it's a sacred celebratory day. Let's not cry today. And that's what Sabbath is. Sabbath is a day you pretend that heaven has already come. You celebrate and forget the hard losses and pains that you might have even experienced just the other day. And we can only pretend because we know it will be true someday, right? Revelation 21:4 says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." The Sabbath is a day when the kingdom to come has come, and to celebrate it now rather than anticipate it tomorrow. And play doesn't always look the same for everyone. Kids on the playground may gallop like horses, but as adults we might dance, sing, play a game, build something. There's physical play like rollerblading or soccer. There's social play like board games or laughing with friends. There's creative play like painting or music. And then there's pretend play, right? What unites them all is delight. Play is simply delight embodied. Moving, dancing, laughing, building, pretending, and celebrating. We're supposed to pretend that everything is good on Sabbath, even if it's not. At a feast, we commemorate a special day. A wedding feast commemorates the day forever in the couple's lives. It becomes a special day to celebrate each year. Sabbath commemorates creation, right? In Exodus, we see this. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the seas and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. And then Sabbath also commemorates freedom. And we see this in Deuteronomy. "Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with a strong hand and a powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day." So it's a day to commemorate, to remember something. And also a wedding feast or a feast is specific to the couple. It's been wedding season here at Waterhouse, right? And I love seeing how each person does things differently. To the many memorable dances, to the worship service, to the possibility of having Elvis as an officiant. It all shows that personality of the couple within that they delight in, right? At Brian and Maya's wedding, I chose daisies as my flowers because daisies are my favorite. We had typewriters as our centerpieces because we both had one before we had met and we bonded over that fun fact. The bridesmaids wore maroon because that's my favorite color. Even if it wasn't fall, I was going to make them wear maroon because it's my favorite color. The groom's cake was a Superman cake because Superman is Brian's favorite hero, who also happened to be a journalist like he was at the time. And we had popcorn because it was one of Brian's favorite foods. The wedding day is full of our favorite things specific to the couple that we're celebrating. Your Sabbath is going to look different than my Sabbath. You may not be petting your cat because you don't have a cat. Your favorite things are different than my favorite things, so each Sabbath will be specific to you. And it's supposed to be a holy day. Holy means set apart, different. Sabbath is a day different than all other days. On your normal days, weekdays, how do you wake up? With an alarm? Maybe on Sabbath, don't wake up with alarm. Where do you drink your coffee normally? In the car on the way to work? Or after it's gotten cold and you've had to heat it up 3 times? Maybe drink a special cup of coffee. And that might be something that you could do every week if you had the ability to go to Starbucks every single Sabbath. You could do that. Or Ironworks if it's not on Sunday. But choose to do something different than what you normally do. So here's some ways you might be able to set apart your day. Choose something that will only be done on Sabbath and never be done outside of Sabbath. So I have one TV show that I allow myself to watch on Sabbath, and I can watch it alone, even if Brian's not with me, and it's The Chosen. And so that's just my Sabbath TV. I don't watch it otherwise. And if I do watch something on Sabbath, I have to watch it with somebody else other than that. So it's got to be communal. And then ask this, will this be merely a break or a joy? A break might be binge watching a random show. A joy would be watching a favorite movie with family and laughing and quoting lines together. Ryan and I watched this Friday, we watched Freaky Friday together. And so that was a lot of fun. We were going to go eventually watch Freakier Friday, right? So we just had to catch up on that. But it was something that we had both experienced as younger that we got to experience together. Ask, will this lead my heart to wonder or routine? Routine like scrolling social media out of habit? Or wonder like taking a walk in nature and noticing the beauty of creation? Or stargazing at night? Will I be more grateful after this, or just happy I got something done? So maybe you're stressed that you need to mow the lawn, so you have to go mow the lawn, and you're like, okay, I got that done. Or maybe you love mowing your lawn. Maybe that's something that brings you joy, you delight in, and you're grateful for the lawn that you have. Do things to intentionally engage your senses, like lighting your favorite candle, putting on your favorite lotion. Do something creative. Paint, sketch, or do a simple craft without worrying how it will turn out. That's the key there. If you're worried it's going to not turn out good and you're going to be mad about it, then don't do it. Have a specific game you play only on Sabbath. A family board game or card games. A lighthearted outdoor game like frisbee, badminton, or pickleball. Do some of your favorite things specific to you. Those are just some examples. And I hope that you use that to just give yourself a little bit of a list of what you can delight in on Sabbath. One important thing when it comes to Sabbath and it comes to rest is that apart from God, we cannot truly find enjoyment or delight. Ecclesiastes 2, 24 through 26 says, "So I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God. For who can eat or enjoy anything apart from him? God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please him. This, too, is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Apart from God, we can't enjoy anything, truly." The Sabbath is meant for true delight, a foretaste of heaven. If your heart has been seeking joy apart from God, today is the day to find joy in Him. Without Him, we can't fully delight. Delight yourself in the Lord and receive the satisfaction only He can give. The Sabbath is not about somber ritual or duty. It's about delight, celebration, and experiencing a foretaste of heaven. I love how in the book Sabbath, Dan B. Allender said this: to read a book, or in this case, to listen to a sermon series on Sabbath and not enter the holy day is somewhat like waiting for an exquisite 5-star meal and then forgetting to eat it when it arrives because you were too busy chatting away on your cell phone. Don't miss out on the delight He has planned for you on Sabbath day. Be different than the culture around you that praises work and consuming and distraction. Set a day apart for the Lord. It is possible, but it won't happen without intentionality. The altar team is here to pray with you, whether it's for salvation, renewal, or simply to help you experience God's joy and rest more fully. We need each other to make Sabbath happen. Let us delight in the Lord together. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the rest that you offer us. God, that we can pretend that all is good because we know it will be good soon. Lord, that we would step into Sabbath, something that is so far out of this world that we don't fully understand, but Lord, that we would step into what you've called us to, into rest. In Jesus' name, amen.